example that at the end of the fifth week, we have little cards that we as a staff and as leaders, we sign, and then you guys look at the back and you sign, and it says what we do, and then it says what you do. It asks certain things that we would ask you to do to commit to being a part of this church. And many of you already have been here a long time and know what that looks like, but everybody will get one, and it's a little card, and we'll have that for you the next 2 weeks, the fourth and fifth week. Now, to be a part of the church is what that looks like is why we go through this, is I want you to see who we are, what we believe in our doctrine, but I also want you to see where you fit, your place. My biggest concern with churches today is that it's full of people that don't really know why they're there. It's kind of the Sunday morning, let's get up and go type thing, and then the rest of the week they don't have any idea what they're doing for the church or why even the church is there for them. So our biggest concern is that you guys learn what chair you're in, and then with that, learn what God has gifted you in. And that's why these last week and today are really heavy on your gift and what that means. Now, if you've never, let me just kind of give you some fundamentals of the church. If you've never joined the church, usually, and this is just what it looks like. To join the church is on Sunday morning on the invitation. You would come forward, pray with the staff, whoever would be up here, deacons, leaders, whoever's up here, me. And you just pray and say, we have felt like God has called us to join this church. At that point, we would ask you if you've been through this class. And if not, we would ask you to go through this class. And at the end of this class, when you sign that document and I sign it, it's a partnership with you, saying that I'll pray for you and that you're praying for me and so forth. There's three or four things on there. So that's kind of what that looks like. As far as baptism goes, if you've never been baptized, and let me go ahead and open this up and we can talk about this if we want to. Baptism, we would ask you to be baptized. Now, what if you come to me and you said, well, I was a Baptist in Missouri at an independent Baptist church and I was baptized there. Do I need to be re-baptized? If you ask 10 pastors, you're probably going to get 10 different answers. My answer to that is this. If you've been baptized on the right side of the cross as a born-again believer, that's good enough for me. Now, I know a lot of you wouldn't agree with that, and that's okay. But I'm just saying, I'm not going to be, I don't want to use the wrong word, but I don't think I'm so great that if I baptize you, it's going to be better. I think if you were baptized on the right side of the cross, you were born again believer, you were baptized in an evangelical church, that's the point I want to make. If you were baptized in a church that, you know, if you come to me and say, you know, I was baptized Mormon or something, well, we need to get the water warm. If you were baptized something that doesn't believe what we believe, that Jesus was a virgin, born of a virgin, he died, rose again, shed his blood as the Lamb of God so that you could be saved. If the church didn't believe that, then we need to re-baptize. Also, if you were baptized as a child and then felt like you got saved later on in life, you need to get baptized on the right side of the cross. If you were baptized before you were genuinely saved, the Bible says you need to do it on the right side of the cross. So, trying to answer a few questions that I've heard over the last couple of weeks about baptism. So that's kind of where I stand with that. But the partnership is this, is that we, you know, we read it in 1 Peter 4. We want you to learn to be all you can be as a Christian so that you can help grow the church. It's all about kingdom building. What can you do to help serve others and build believers? And that's what it's about. Serving sinners and building believers. That's what we're about. Now, the three chairs, why we're doing that is some of us are mature Christians. Let me go over that real fast. Mature Christians are those who are sitting in the one chair and they pray. They always say, it's not my will, but your will, God, be done. A mature believer is a person that gives at least 10% to the church. That distinguishes a lot of people right there if they're a mature believer or not. I had the conversation this week with a couple pastors, and if mature believers are mature believers, they believe the whole Bible, not just the parts that they want. And so the givers are mature believers. Mature believers are those that are handing out the bread to other people, samples of God. Here's what God did in my life. Here's a sample to you. Now come to the church and have a part of the big meal. And so that's mature believers. Mature believers are praying for other people, seeking to help other people. Now, baby believers have the concept in their head what the Bible says, but they haven't participated and understood the blessings of God. They've never actually had the opportunity or hasn't been in front of them yet where God has nudged them to say, hey, you know, give Mike $100. I used that the first week. Yeah, Mike said, let's go. And then when God used you to do that, the blessings they got from that. Baby believers are just learning that. Baby believers are not real good about inviting others to the church. They're kind of still kind of like, yeah, I go to church. You know, they're not wide open about God and how great God is. And then, of course, the sinner is someone that could be someone that grew up in church, has a head knowledge of God, but has never had a relationship in their heart with Christ. They're a what we would call the sinner's chair, and we have a lot of those. And we try to keep our church in thirds, a third mature, a third baby, and a third sinner. And if we keep it that way, the mature people will always bring in the sinners. The sinners will always be moving to the baby chair, and the baby chairs will always be moving to the mature chair. So if it's broke up into thirds, it's always going to be a great ecosystem. And that's what we're longing to do here. We have a lot of classes like Financial Peace University, like Fireproof. We have, Vic, what's your class called? The Call to Grow. And that's taking baby believers, it's taking sinners, and even sometimes mature believers and reflecting on what God has done in their life. We have Dr. Williams that teaches a deep Bible study. We have Dan Yost that teaches sometimes it's a video-driven series of historical facts about the Jewish nation, in which we need to look at because we look to them to see what we're going to be. And then we have our youth program. We have, you know, the Scepters teaching the singles. We're trying to cover all the chairs. Today's sermon you'll hear where I really cover all three chairs. I start out teaching and building the believer. I end up trying to reach the sinner. And so every time we meet as a staff and every time we meet as a family, I want you guys to remember that we're trying to fill the chairs of the thirds. We're trying to reach sinners and we're trying to build believers. So when you become a partner with this church and you join, and your family joins, or you join, however that looks like, and you sign the card, you've been through this class, and you become a member of this church, there's expectations that go with that. And they're clearly marked out on the card that you'll get next week. Expectations of praying for the pastor, and praying for the staff, and praying for the church, and praying for the lost. And as we do that, we build each other up. So that's what it's all about. That's why this class is here. So you guys have an understanding of that. There's nothing worse than for me to have you come join the church, and then me just to automatically think that you already know everything that I need out of you, and then you don't have any idea, and then all of a sudden it seems like we're not on the same page. We don't want that. We want to be on the same page. Any questions to that point real quick? Because I want to pray and jump into this. Dan, go ahead. Great point. If you were sprinkled, baptism is the word baptisto, which means to be submerged in Greek. Sprinkled, if you were sprinkled on the right side of the cross, I still want to put you under the water. Great point. I always forget to think of that. Just for kicks, has anybody ever been sprinkled? Okay. Vic, you were? What were you, Catholic or what was it? Okay, Catholic? Reformed Catholic? Deborah, what were you? Methodist. Okay. When I was a Methodist, I was a little kid. My mom and dad were Methodists, and I actually was a dude that got to walk up in the robe with that thing, and I lit the candle, and that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that. I felt like I was really doing something for God, but that was fun. I was a Methodist when I was real little. And then I was a Nazarene when I got a little bigger, and then I became a Baptist when I got in. I finally got there. That's right. Praise the Lord. So, but yeah, sprinkled, you know, it's some people do that, but you can't show me, and I think John can back me up in this. He's the doctor of theology. I can't find one place in the Bible where they sprinkled anybody. I can't find it. So they always put them underwater. And baptism is this. Here's your life. You're surrendering. You're dying to self, raising up to be more like Christ. It's a symbol. So it's a lot of fun to be baptized, and it's good. And it's a promise. We'll talk about that. All right, let's pray, and then we're going to jump in. I wanted you to turn to Exodus in just a minute, and then I want to show you a couple quick scriptures, and then we're going to move on here real quick. Father, be with us this morning. Father, today as we discover who we are and what that looks like as far as the actual things that we need to be doing to be careful of and the things that we need to do that will make us do great things, that we look at that today and use our gifts. Father, I pray that you'll bless us as a church, bless us as a people. Help us to reach and teach people for Christ. Father, help us to have a passion for God, a passion for people, and a love for Christ that's never been seen. Help us, Lord, to be a demonstration of God's love and power because we are the true church. Be with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll see today we're excited. This is the third week in the row. The baptism has been full behind me, and that's awesome, too. We love to baptize people. And if you're here today and never been baptized, you're on the right side of the cross. We can get you a glad bag to sit in your car with if you want to get baptized today at the end of the service. We'll give you a glad bag so you don't get your seat wet and you can drive home and change. All right. Amen. I thought somebody would laugh at that, but I guess you guys aren't awake yet. But that is the truth. I went to a buddy's church a few months ago in California, baptized 500 people. And about 300 of them didn't know they were getting baptized when they got there. And they gave out a t-shirt and a plaid bag so they could sit in it on their car. That was a great idea. Stacy, you got any glad bags? All right. We'll get some for that. I want to show you real quick. We've been talking about the table, and on the table is the meal. The meal is the Word of God. The meal is what God's Word says to us. And as we discovered last week, does anybody need what we handed out last week? I have these if you didn't get them. Last week, if you weren't here, I have these. A couple back there. Anybody else need these? An extra one, or just pass some of these around. And I want to add a word. Everybody remember the word we're going to add? Thank you, sir. You know what? Give me one just so I can show them where to do that. Cindy needs one up here. Yeah, supernatural. That's right. Look where it says my definition, a skill or an ability. I want you to write in the word between A and skill, a supernatural skill, a supernatural ability that enables each Christian to perform a function in the body of Christ. And then I've given you a list, and these are the scriptures that I stick to on spiritual gifts. I've been through a lot of classes, even in seminary, where there's been hundreds of spiritual gifts laid out. I particularly, as your pastor, I look at these as spiritual gifts. Other things like musical talent, things like that, I don't consider a spiritual supernatural gift, but I consider that a skill or ability that God uses in you to glorify God. But these are supernatural gifts that are printed in the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God, God breathed through the Holy Spirit. And there's the actual passages that they're found. Now, we've been talking about the bread and what that means. I want to show you real quick why I've chosen to use the bread of life, the table, as our demonstration through this class of discovering who we are. If you'll turn real quick with me to Exodus 16:15, it's in the very front of your Bible. And in just a few minutes after we go over this, we're going to break up into some groups again and talk like we did last week. So be prepared for that. But Exodus 16:15, I want to give you some scripture of why I've chosen this. It says this, as I hold it farther away instead of putting my glasses on. The Bible says that when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was, and Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." You guys all know what is it mean in Hebrew is manna. The people of God's chosen people were wandering out in the desert. They were hungry. They needed something to sustain them and give them hope. And God, during the night, rained down what we call manna. Manna was a bread-type substance that they would smash into little tortillas, and that's what they would eat. And as the people looked at it, they said, "What is it?" And that's the word manna. Manna means in Hebrew, what is it? So, that I wanted you to see because I want to turn to John chapter 6 now and show you why we're doing what we're doing. And John chapter 6, verses 27 through 29 should give us where we need to be. I'm going to go ahead and put my glasses on. Give you a quick historical thing here. It says, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but labor for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you and give to you, for on Him God the Father has set His seal." Then they said to Him, "What must we do?" I want you to underline that. They said, "What must we do?" God has just said, "Hey, the Son of Man is here to give you the bread of life." And they said, "Okay, we want that. What must we do?" And then look at the next verse. The next words. What must we do to be doing the works of God? What must I do? What action must I take to do the work of God and to be in the will of God? And Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent. So they said, "God, what do we, where do we stand in line, and when do we raise our hand, and what do we do to have God?" And He says, "You don't do, you believe." And what I want to share with you is why we've done the table is that we have people that have different belief, and it's real simple, just believe in Christ. And the reason I bring up giftedness is because when you do believe, then you do. It's not you do and then you believe. It's you believe and then you do. And what you do is your supernatural spiritual gift. Christians today have really missed that. That's why our churches are hungry for this bread. If I had a loaf of bread here right now and I smelt it, and in Paradise Bakery had just cooked it and it was all hot and steamy, you guys would all be going, that's bread. And you would smell it. And then if I passed it around and let you touch it, you'd go, oh, yeah, that's bread. I want some of that. But if we never ate it, we would never know for sure how good that bread was. And that's what Jesus is saying here. If we have our spiritual gift, and we believe in God, so He has supernaturally given us this gift, but all we do is kind of smell it and touch it, and we never partake it and make it part of us, we're lacking. If I can show you to discover, develop, and deploy that gift that God has given you, just think when you partake of that bread, you're going to go, that's good. You're going to say, wow, this church stuff is fun, and it's not so fearful. And you're going to say, that is good stuff, and you're going to want more of that, and you're going to teach other people to get that. When I find a good piece of bread, I'll give it to somebody else and say, isn't this good? And then you'll go buy that bread. And when I use my spiritual gift for God, you're going to say, this is really neat. I'm going to go use that for God. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing here this morning. Now, quickly, I want to go over some things. When you look at your giftedness there, hopefully you're praying about what your gift is. I'll ask that right now. Has anybody prayed over this list, and can you share with me what your gift is? Anybody at all? Have you looked at this list of gifts and prayed over it, and you know what your gift is now? Kenny, do you have the gift, the list gift that I gave you? Stacy's got one for you. I want to make sure you have that. Anybody, somebody share me your gift. Service. All right. And I know he has that because I walked in this morning at 7:30 and I had a vacuum. And he grabbed it from me and said, Pastor, go rest. I'll do it. He vacuumed the nursery. That's a gift of service. Administration. I didn't ask for that. That just happens. Shirley did that because she has the gift to administrate and to help and to serve and make that and all other kind of things. She does all kinds of stuff for me. What else? Gifts that you have. What's that? Okay. Give me another gift. Who has the gift of service, let's just say? Okay, Jonathan, service. You know, the church is built and is the backbone. The backbone of the church is people that have the gift of service. So if you have that, man, I need you around me. That's awesome. Just keep praying through that and look at that list and say, Lord, show me what my gift is. Hey, Carrie, are you back there? Do you have my list that was on that flash drive? All right, let's do it. I want you to look at a couple things this morning with me. Just real quick, I want to show you some rewards of your gift discovery. Why I want you to see what your gift is. And they should be on the screen right here for us. Pastor, why do I need to know my gift? And why do I need to use that? Because you need to serve the meal through your gift. Dan, if you didn't want a vacuum, I don't want you to. But if you want to do it, I want you to do it. Because there's somebody else that's going to want to do it, and you're going to take their blessing away if you do it. As we, in the next few weeks, break down into our smaller groups that we're going to do, our home groups, I want you to be aware of each other's gifts. You're going to see some people say, I'll have my home, I'm hospitable, I'll have the gift of hospitality, but I don't want to teach. That's fine. And then you'll have somebody come to that group, they'll say, I don't want you in my home, but I'd love to teach. And then you're going to have other people in your group that are going, I'm hungry to learn the word, or I'll encourage you and pray for you as you learn how to facilitate and teach. See, we all have to work together to make this church grow and to make God's kingdom grow. And as we find our groups and we start doing that, we'll really see a successful growth in our spirituality. Look up here, you'll see Romans 12, 1 through 6. I'm going to read this for you just real fast. And we're going to go over a couple things. And it'll bless you. All right. Romans 12, 1 through 6 says this. I don't know why I fight it. I'm just going to wear them. All right. I keep thinking God's going to let me see better again. Okay. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable and what is perfect. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. All of us in here, people, don't have the same function. Different parts of the body. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ, underline that. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, and the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Right there we have seven gifts printed out for us. Now, what are our rewards and gifts? Number one, you will know and you will know and test God's will for you. Anybody know what God's will is for their life? Don't you want to know that? You know, if I always think of a billboard sign. What is God's will for my life? If we could put that up, we'd have all kinds of people looking at that. Basically, when you know your gift and your gifts, you will know and test God's will for you. All right? Do you guys get that? Hope you get that. Should I give you an example? Somebody give me an example. What's a gift? Exhortation. If I have the gift of exhortation, I read this list. It says, you will know and I have it on the back wall too. That's why I'm pointing that way. You will know and test God's will for you. If you exhort, that means exhortation means you love to praise God, and everywhere you go, you're going like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Exhort Jesus. You exhort Him in everything you do. You get into a situation at a football game and you're going, man, the Lord has really gifted that guy to play ball. Or you're all about lifting up God. And when you know that, you will know and test God's will for you. So you come to the point in your life where you say, okay, God, what's your will in my life? And if you know it's exhortation, you're going to go where you can exhort. You're not going to go to where you can't exhort. Your will, you're going to know God's will for you. If it's teaching, you're going to know to go teach. If it's giving, you're going to know how to give. You're going to know God's will in your life. All right? Good stuff. Number two is you will learn to evaluate yourself accurately. When you know your gift, let's just use me as an example, because everybody knows my administration skills. Or lack of. Amen or oh me, right? I know that when I evaluate myself, I'm not going to volunteer to take the records or take roll or to be the one that does all the admin of the situation we're fixing to go into. I know I'm the warrior. I'm the one that's going to go in and speak and fight, but I ain't going to write nothing down. And I'm never going to turn it back in either. Ask my professors, okay? I'm terrible. So I know that when I evaluate my gift as administration, I go, hey, Pam, go with me because I'm not going to be able to do it, all right? And so I know that. And so then when I go into battle, I take the people with me that I need. Stacy, go with me, right? Stacy's real administrator. I'm not. And you guys, I just share that. I'm just not. And so we need to learn to evaluate that. Evaluate yourself accurately. You know, I tell pastors all the time on their call, Pastor, I want to be a preacher. I'm like, have you evaluated your gift? Can you preach? Now, some of you guys have been at churches where you would wonder if the guy had that gift. I know. Some of you here. But anyway, I'm working on it. All right, number three, you will be slower to criticize a fellow believer. When you have your gift figured out, you're going to be a little bit slower in how you criticize other believers. I've really learned this. I was probably one of the worst criticizers. You know, man, that guy thought he could teach and he was terrible or something. Now I go, wait a minute. That guy is a great administrator. We need to put him with a great teacher and he can administrate that class, and that's going to be a great class. Or, hey, that guy's a great servant. Let's call him when the nursery needs to be vacuumed. Instead of having whoever doesn't want to do it, that's something else do it. We are. We're slower to criticize a fellow believer when we know our gift. That's why it's scary when I asked you the other day who knows their gift and 10 people raise their hands. We have to be careful. Dan, go ahead. Yes. Yeah. Right. That's right. Yeah. You've got to be within your giftedness. If you're not, you're going to be miserable too. Nothing will change. Yeah. Yeah, it's on there. It should be on there. That's right. The gift of giving is huge. Some people have the gift of giving. I feel like asking right now who does. I have the gift of giving. I'll give. I like to give. We have a lot of people with the gift of giving. That can be a supernatural gift. And if you have the supernatural gift of giving and you're not giving, Harold, you're going to be miserable. And if you're not giving, other people aren't going to be able to do their work because there's no gift. That's right. That's right. Is it not on there, giving? It should be. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, good. Let's go to the next slide. I got about seven of them here. Carrie, you got the next one? Disappointments will lead to godly appointments. Read Proverbs 18:16. See, we're all disappointed sometimes with fellow believers, and sometimes we're disappointed in what God does with us. Sometimes we're disappointed with others. But disappointments will always lead to godly appointments if you know your gift. I'll share in my sermon today something me and Trey went through this week that just devastated my life. But it was really a godly appointment that I needed to turn into a godly appointment that was extremely disappointing at the time it happened. It's going to be in my sermon, so that's all you're going to get. But think about that. Disappointments in your life will lead to godly appointments if you know your gift. God will put you in some real uncomfortable places in your giftedness. And how you react to that gift will lead to an appointment or a disappointment. Okay? You will find your unique place in the body of Jesus Christ, in Christ's true church. You know, if I wish I could tell you how many people come to me and say, Billy, I just don't know what to do for the church. How can I just fit in and help the church? When you know your gift, you'll have a unique place in that body of Jesus Christ church. And then you'll also find that this staff and this leadership team will give you the reins to go do that gift. We don't hold people back. We say, go. And so find your unique place in the body of Christ. You will also have a beautiful reassurance of God's presence in your life. 1 Corinthians 12:27 basically is this. Do you know how many people and teachers, you'll hear me on this. Most of us, we talked about this last week. We always, not always, but we have a hard time with the assurance of our salvation as Christians. We're always going, why did I do that? Am I really saved? When you're doing your gift, you won't ask that anymore. When you're operating within that supernatural gift that God has given you, you'll quit asking that. You'll have a beautiful reassurance of God's presence in your life. I really want to tell you that. I have the gift of evangelism, and when I'm leading people to Christ, I don't wonder at all about my salvation. But if I go a couple of weeks and I'm pretty dry and I haven't won anybody to Christ, I start going, man, God, am I really going to heaven? It's a big difference in my life when I'm doing what God wants me to do. Carrie, was that all or was there one more? I think there was one more. Okay, two more. You will have a unique ability to discern against false guilt. Many of us today are carrying guilt in our life that God may be using for you to see your spiritual gift. And so you're carrying around this guilt. Oh man, God, I'm a giver by nature, but I don't have any money right now. Oh God, I exhort by nature, but since my life is kind of going bad right now, I'm having a hard time praising you for everything. You have a unique ability to discern against that false guilt, and you'll be able to say, God is doing something in my life to teach me to be even a better giver or a better exhorter or a better server or whatever that may be. And we need that today. We need that ability to discern through that. Also, you will learn to be a wise steward in the developing your gifts to their greatest potential. Developing, discover it, developing, and deploying your gift is what this is all about. And when we do that, it makes us do great things for God. Let me give you quickly three quick roadblocks before we break up into small groups. I see three things that we have to be careful, and there's a lot more. This is not exhaustive at all, but there's three things that I need to share with you about your gift that we need to be careful. Number one, with your spiritual gift, we must always be aware of improper motives. You'll see that I've written down James 4:12. I've had Trey and me have kind of, Trey asked me Monday, Dad, where do you want me to be this week? And I said, be in James 4. Be in James 4 and really read that. Improper motives. As pastors and as teachers and leaders and whatever your gift may be, always remember to have the proper motive of your gift. Man, we could go on and on. I'll just give you a couple quick things. If your gift is exhortation and you praise God for the glory of God, not for yourself. If your gift is giving, give quietly. Don't ring the bell and say, hey, look what I did. If your gift is teaching, teach with humbleness and humility. Don't be prideful and say, I'm the best teacher in the world. Be confident that you're a great teacher through Christ because you're supernaturally gifted. But have proper motives. man, like I said, just watch TV evangelists and stuff like that. That worries me about them. What are their motives and what are your motives with your gift? Number two, I think that roadblocks of your spiritual gift, if you have sin, selfishness, carnality, temporal living in your life, Romans 6:12, it's going to hurt your gift. Carnality means fleshy, humanly things, not godly things. Opposite of spirituality, carnal. Carnal is human in the flesh. That's what it means actually in Greek. So selfishness and carnality in the flesh, temporal living. Temporal living is living not by what the Word of God says, but living how you want to live and then justifying it through whatever you want to justify it through. That will cause you not to have a gift. So if you have the gift of evangelism and you're living in sin or selfishness, carnality, and that's by no means everything, but that's a lot of them, you're going to find yourself pretty dry as far as winning people to Christ. You're not going to be doing a very good job. And God's not going to use you to do great things through you if you're living unpure. And so it really is a roadblock to your gift. And then, of course, number three, love. And I put this in there because last week it was great when Joyce brought that up. I mean, it's a roadblock. If we don't love people and we don't show love and exude love out of us, God's not going to use our spiritual gift. God's not going to use us to grow His church if we don't love. We've got to love. And so it's a roadblock, and we need to be aware of that. And there's several scriptures that I found that just basically say love is the key to God and through us. So, as we look at our giftedness and we look at this table, the table being the church and the meal is the Word of God and the chairs around the table, what can you do? What can you do personally to grow that gift to reach people for Christ? So I want you to break up back into those groups that you were in, or you can get into a new group if you want to. But I want you to break up into groups, and here's the key to this group. If you walked in late, I want to share this with you real quick. The reason we're doing this is because at the end of 5 weeks, we're going to give you a certificate. We're going to sign it. You're going to sign it. We're going to ask you to commit to partner with this church to help grow the kingdom of God. So as you break up into your groups this morning, I want you to talk out loud with each other. I want you to say something like this. I don't know my gift, but I think it might be this. Ask others. The Bible's real clear that others should see your gift because you're doing your gift. Ask others, hey, what do you think my gift is? And ask God and pray about that. And get a couple people that are praying for you this week to go, God, show them their specific gift. I know that Vic's class does a lot of that. That you guys really impact on that and unpack that. That you got to know who you are before you can be who you are. Ask others. So let's get in our groups. Go ahead and stand up, get in your group, stretch a little bit. Don't make me do all the talking. I have this gift, but now what? So next week, I'm glad you asked that, because next week we're going to have a board up here, and we're going to actually lay out what you can do. In other words, it's really exciting over here. I hear some people that are saying, I want to be a part of a senior ministry, people that are, you know, senior citizens, where they call them. I mean, they had all kinds of vision over here. I was getting all excited. Talking about how we're going to, you know, who can drive and who can't, and how we're going to call them, and if they're not here 1 week, we're going to go get them, and we can pick them up, and I mean, I'm going, amen, okay? And that's awesome. And so we're going to have a whole board of things that we can do, things that now that we believe, like Jesus says, now let's go do it. And so we're going to take your giftedness, and we're going to hear what it is, lay it out, and we're going to say, go, man, go. Go get them. Go do it. Go help us. So that'll be exciting. I hope you'll be here for that. And at that time, we'll hand out the cards that you'll be able to read, and you'll hear what we promise for you and what we expect from you. And then as we sign that, we're going to get them laminated for you. You'll get that back when we have our pancake breakfast in 3 weeks. So thank you for being here today. I'm going to give you guys some time to fellowship. We'll start church in just a few minutes, but that's what's happening next week. Dan, you're going to help me get a sign, and we're going to write all that out. All right. Anybody else? Any questions? I had one question about healing. And I might unpack some more of that next week. But there is all kinds of gifts. And some of us may feel like we have the gift of healing, either spiritually or physically. And there's all kinds of neat things with all these gifts that we can talk about. And I'll give you the scriptures for. But that'll be a lot of fun. Anybody else, real quick, any quick question? Looks good. Be in prayer today. Our youth are leading the worship. They're excited and they're nervous at the same time, I can tell. And that's good. We want our youth to be able to do that. In the next 4 weeks, we have a lady coming in, just so you guys know, that teaches music. and she's really good and plays keyboards and everything, and she teaches praise and worship. She'll be here, and I have her for 4 weeks, but we're praying over a guy that was here last week and a couple other resumes. Pray that God would show us who's going to be the person for our worship. So be in prayer for that. I know that that's a big deal, and we're working on that. We're aware of that. And so be excited and in prayer, especially you people who have the gift of praying. All of us have that gift, by the way, if we're believers. We all pray. And pray for us and pray for our church. Let's pray, and then I'll let you guys go so you can fellowship some more. Father, again, help us today to have a great day. And Father, I pray that the people that I invited this week, that I shared a little bit of the thread of life with, that they become the samples that I handed out. Lord, I pray that the samples that these people handed out, their friends would come today, so that we could show a demonstration of God's love and power through the meal that we serve, through the Word of God. Father, we pray for our church, and we pray, Lord, that as we are steadfast in finding our gifts, that You would make it easy for us to see, that You would make it easy for us to use in a supernatural way a manifestation of God in our own lives as we use that gift. Father, we love You. I think of the Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The Bible says, "In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God." Father, this morning we give You thanks for this day, for bringing us here, and we know that we're in Your will. Father, be with us. Be with our children as they're in VBS this morning, and all the leaders that are there as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.